I want to make mention of this as I have in the past. I'm sitting over there and Si looks over at this old rusty Bible. I don't know, think the Bible's rusty, but it has duct tape on it, right? Don't we live in the country, right? Isn't it a fixture of most things? At least that's what they tell me. This thing doesn't need to be fixed, right? As I'm sitting in my chair and Si looks at this Bible and he says, how old is that? This just happened just now. He said, how old is that? And I said, I turned over to the front of it. Maybe you know the story behind the Bible. I think I've shared it in here before. But I turned over here in the front and I showed it to him and it says, Matthew Campbell Whitson, given by mom and dad on October 30th, 1990. Right? That's history to him. That's the stuff in his classes that he is studying about. Those are the dates. Right? George Washington is there and all of the things that happened. But you think about everything that has happened in our lives. If you were alive in 1990 and there beyond, you think about the amount of things that have happened in your life, your circumstances that have changed, the what your family looks like. I saw the birth of new grandbaby, first one. Congratulations, right? You're supposed to be going on and giving them a hand and all those fun things, right? And if you'll just give me the money, I'll present it to them as a gift, right? Make sure it's cash. But let's just make sure we're on the same page. 1990, a lot of things have changed over the course of time, right? This is history to Si. But make no mistake about it, in this room today, the thing that is going to change our lives isn't anything, any of our circumstances. It is the powerful Word of God that is unchanging. And I don't care what the Bible date is when you received it, if it has duct tape on it. If I go down for the count up here on stage, you can turn to many, many different places in this Bible and you'll find a lot of different notes and different things. Just start reading the notes, right? It's where God has inspired me and hopefully He will inspire you today based on how the Spirit of God in me has said, here's what I want you to present to these people for the namesake of Jesus Christ. A lot has happened in my life, speaking of circumstances, since the last time we met. I was trying to talk with my friends over here, and I couldn't remember the last time I was on your stage. I think it was almost a year ago. I think I brought one of the times when I was on your stage here. I think I brought Bella. Did you guys remember seeing Bella? She was in our home. She wasn't a part of my family, but she wasn't legally adopted at that point. She was two. She's now turned three last month. But she stood, she was the one that was cranky, and didn't really know how to act in church, and most two-year-olds don't. But a lot has changed since then in my life, in our lives. She now calls me, because her last name is Whitson, and legally in January, she became part of our family, right? Cool. And I'm emotional because of how God has brought her into my life. I'm emotional because probably I didn't sleep last night because she decided she wanted to crawl up in the middle of our bed. You know what happens when you get tired? You get more emotional. I don't know. Maybe you don't, but I do, right? But she is unbelievably Daddy's heart melt. She just completely just melts my heart. I've never had a two-year-old daughter. I started with a 4.5-year-old daughter who's 9 now, right? But I've never had a two-year-old daughter. I can't believe the influence she has on me. I can't believe how she digs in and finds the exact spot to begin to massage my heart and say, Daddy, I need you to show me how much you love me through your actions. I can say to her, I love you. But when I show her, I love her. It is incredible to see how it changes her. The thing that I'm so excited about is this, as I am all of my children, whether you are my biological son or my 3 adopted children. The thing that I'm so encouraged about is I get the opportunity through my actions and my words to get to tell them and show them about the goodness of our Jesus. And one day, because of how God has allowed me to take these children and say, you are my children and I am your father. Because I get that opportunity to do that, not only will I get to influence their lives for the sake of the gospel, but I will get to, and they will get to rather, spread the good news of Jesus wherever they go. Right? I'm excited about that. Let's talk about Bella just a second. She just completely melts my heart. I have a gazillion stories, right? She doesn't brighten my heart any more than Si does, or Will, my oldest son, or Raya, my oldest daughter. But it's just different, right? Children just have a different effect on us. We love them the same, yet they just affect us differently. Well, but Bella is not only just a heart melt for me, she completely annihilates whatever situation she is in, specifically within the realms of my family and grandparents, right? I don't care if she was birthed from my wife or whether she's adopted into my family. She is heirs to what we have as moms and dads, and also heirs to the goodness of what it looks like to have the influence of a grandmother and a grandfather. And so every time there's an opportunity, and that's every single day with grandparents, it looks like. Every time there's an opportunity for a grandparent to give Bella something, or any of my children, but specifically Bella, anytime there's an opportunity to give them something, to make her smile, to use the actions to show her the love that they have for her, they take advantage of that. And so we hadn't yet finalized in December last Christmas yet, but she was still a part of our family, and we knew that the time was coming where she was going to be have her last name changed to Whitson. That's who she is now, thankfully. But we decided, or my in-laws said, you know what? The great part about this is we get to celebrate through giving her gifts this Christmas. And so, as Si would tell you, and Will and Raya would tell you, it is crazy how many gifts that my in-laws decide to give these children. In fact, I have to say, listen, Scotty, Anita, some of you guys may know them. They are incredible people. But I have to say to them, listen, they don't need all this stuff. In fact, they have so much more than they'll ever need. But my in-laws just want to show them their love. And so they begin to give. Well, under the tree, they have these different wrapped papers that some are for one boy and the others, you know how this deal goes. And so they gathered this stuff up for Bella and they gave it to her. And so they're just tearing through them, and the stacks of toys are just adding up, and the papers everywhere. And one of the things that they decided to get her, after all the presents are opened up from under the tree, they then go out into the storage area and they bring in some more presents, right? It's unbelievable how many presents these kids get. Well, so she opens them all up, and every time she opens them up, I'm just cringing, because one of the things I just despise about Christmas is the dad that is going to have to put all the things together, right? And now with four children, the increase of things that I have to put together just makes me want to cringe. And so I'm loading them all up. I don't even know what all they got, to be real honest with you. I just grab a lot of it, and I'm so tired at the end of the night. Half of the things that they can carry that go to the room, and some go to their play areas, and other things just stay in the car. And so I take the things that are in the car and I just kind of start putting them places in my garage. Some of it goes into over to the side where the kids can see it, and eventually they'll get to it. Some of it is the stuff that I have to put together, and so I kind of put it in an area where I think I'm going to remember it, right? And so all of this stuff happens, and so the day goes by, and I'm just kind of, we finally rest up. But then her birthday comes last month. My in-laws get another opportunity to give her gifts. And so as my mother-in-law approaches me and she says, hey, Matt and Becca, that's my wife, she says, hey, what do you think that we need to get Bella for her birthday, right? What does she not have that we can get for her? And Becca and I talked, and we began to kind of process what she needed and what she didn't have. And I thought, every 3-year-old, right, they need a tricycle. Doesn't every 3-year-old need a tricycle, grandma's, grandpa, right? Isn't that right? Would you say that's right? Yes? This means yes. This means no, right? Every 3-year-old needs a good tricycle. And so that was what I told my in-laws. I said, here's what we're going to do. I think you need to give her a tricycle. My mother-in-law's face completely just kind of went. And I went, uh-oh, where's this going? And you know what she said? She said, what happened to the tricycle that we got for her for Christmas? Uh-oh. And I began to go, let's see, where did I put that? So I went back home, went into my garage, began to process what it looked like at the end of Christmas night, and I started fumbling around. And I don't know if you have one of these, but in my garage, I have a storage boat.
Do you have a storage boat in your garage, right?
It's a boat that a father of four never gets to use, so I just leave it in my garage, and it's just a great place to put things, right? It's a storage boat. That's how we define it. But finally, after I lifted up, you know, some this, that, and the other, I finally found the tricycle that my in-laws gave to my daughter for Christmas, right? There it sat. It's a funny story. I didn't get yelled at too bad. But here's where I want to go. What is the purpose of a gift that's been given to you that just is sitting in your storage boat and not doing what it's created to do? Because the moment that I had Cy, we begin to process this, how to put this tricycle together, and Cy helped me with this. And the moment that we got this out of the box, we put the tricycle together, we put it down in front of this little beautiful 3-year-old girl, she got on the tricycle, and the amount of influence that came over her, how it began to take shape, she began to come alive. She pedaled as fast as she could pedal, she laughed as loud as she could laugh, she gripped as tight as she could grip, and she had an incredible a blast while she rode the tricycle. It was doing what it was created to do, and it was allowing her to have this great moment of influence. She was coming alive. The unfortunate part with us is this. We forget. We've been given this gift. And in this gift that we've been given, we begin to place it into corners of our lives, and we begin to realize that it's not doing what it's created to do. It's not having influence like it's supposed to have influence. It's not allowing people in our lives to come alive. It's not putting smiles on people's faces. Do you see where I'm going? And this morning we need to be reminded of this gift that's been given to us. I think in the Baptist church, a lot of times, and I'm talking as a Baptist boy, right? You know me. I'm not bad-mouthing you. We're speaking together. I think in the Baptist church, we get so accustomed to doing the same thing over and over and doing the same part over and over again. And they're good things, right? I love music and I love choir and I love all of these, the Sunday school class. I love all of those things that come with corporate church. But we forget about the individual side of what church looks like. It is a celebration on Sunday morning of what God has done individually in our lives. And when we forget about that, it's like the tricycle that's stuck in the storage boat that's not doing what it's created to do. Let me read you a text this morning out of 1 John chapter 3. We'll spend just a little time here. I want to kind of talk around this. We'll skip through or skip over to another little section in just a second to kind of to see how that has influence on this verse we're fixing to read. 1 John 3, we're going to be reminded this morning, 1 John 3 of the great influence that God has on our lives. 1 John 3, 1, one verse, here it goes. Follow along, it's on the screen behind me if you don't have a Bible. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. One more time. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Would you pray with me just a second? Father God in heaven, I pray this morning in this place as we spend the next few minutes in diving into your word that you will just remind us of your great love for us and the great influence it has on our lives so that we can walk out these doors this morning, God, different than when we entered. So that your name would be known throughout the world that we walk in. We love you so much. I pray, God, that your spirit is great in me, not so that I can boast about what I say, but because God, you are speaking through me. We give you this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. I wonder if we could just take just a second and break this little verse down so that it has this influence on us. Remember, this is us being reminded today, as it is John reminding his readers, listen, Don't forget that there's people out there that are going to try to bring you, false teachers, people that are going to try to drag you to the complete opposite side of the gospel of Jesus. Our world is no different today than it was many moons ago, right? There's always going to be somewhere, someone that's trying to influence you away from the love of God. And if you can be reminded by a billboard, you can be reminded by TV, by the internet, by social media, it all has influence on our lives. And a lot of it says, this world is about you, and what you do is about bringing fame and fortune to yourselves. Instead, we need to be reminded and counteract that with the good news of Jesus, with this scripture that we're going to dive into today, with the Bible as a whole, that it has not changed. Those circumstances, those people are trying to drag you away from it, but don't forget to be reminded about who God is in you. And the writer is writing to those that are reading, saying, don't forget. Don't forget to be reminded that even though these people, these false teachers are coming your way, it is the good news of Jesus. It's because of the love of God that it changes who we are. Be reminded today. So we're going to be reminded today of this. One of the first thing I want to talk to you about is that when we look at how great is the love the Father has on us. I wonder if you can just pause just a second. Anybody, if we're parents, let's just say parents. If you are a parent of a child, let me talk to you about my oldest first, right? His name's Will. He's fixing to turn 14 in a couple months, right? His body is changing. That's just what happens, right? I begin to see him as he matures and goes through his the things that God is taking him through, right? Physically. I begin to see him taking on physical characteristics of his father, right? He's my only biological son. I begin to see that. And so what I start to see is not only how he begins to look like me, not only just with features of his face and his body, but I begin to see how he acts. I begin to see how the actions that I have had over the course of his almost 14 years have had this effect on him, and how he has taken on some of Dad's bad characteristics, right? And how I'm trying to figure out how to correct those, but I might as well just get used to them because they're probably uncorrectable from here on out because we started when he was 2, right? But he also has some really good characteristics that I want him to have based on who his father is to him. And I love to see him as a young man begin to open the door for ladies. And I love to see him shake someone's hand and look them in the eye and stand up when he shakes their hand. I love to see him be confident in who God is in him. I love for him to see the bigger picture instead of having tunnel vision and walking down this road where it's just all about him, right? I love to see when he sees the bigger picture and sees the need around him and begins to have influence on that need because of how his dad has taught him and how the reason his dad has taught him, he starts to piece them together because this is who God is in his father. So I say that to say that children of God, and God is our Father, take on the characteristics of who God is. Did you hear that? Children of God take on the characteristics of their Father. Children of God take on the characteristics of God. And what is the number one characteristic of God? Someone tell me. It's not a simple answer, but it is a simple answer. The number one characteristic of God is love. And children of God should look first at their lives to say, how do I love? God lavished. It's given in great amounts. I don't think we completely understand that, right? The way I approach it, you have to have an opposite of what love is. And the opposite of what love is, I would say, is in God's definition is sin, right? We were created to have this perfect fellowship with God. Instead, we chose to make a bad choice, as we all have, the scriptures say. And because of the bad choices that we make, because of the disobedience that we had, it separated us from the right standing before God. And so if we have an opposite, it is righteous. That is God and who He is and all of His righteousness, all His perfection. And then you have, because of sin, the complete opposite of that is unrighteous. That is not being in the right standing before God. And so what I want us to help us understand is what lavished is God loved you so much that even though you did something to separate yourself from God and mess up our relationship with Him, He lavished His love on you. How great is God's love? You have to understand something. That the moment in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve chose to make a decision that was unworthy, that was not of God, and they chose to bring sin into the world, and it will affect us from that spot all throughout the rest of the world, right? Everybody's affected, right? You have to understand that the effect that has had on the world itself, on your lives, on our lives. We understand a little bit better how lavished love looks, what the definition and how it feels to us, what lavished and given in great amounts, how the great love of God and how it affects our lives. We understand that a little bit better when we understand the effects that sin has on our lives. Oh, wait. Don't talk about sin this morning. I mean, let's stay over here in the love section, right? This feels good, doesn't it? Hello? It sure does. Let's just think about what love is. Let's think about that we lavish on. It's easy to lavish love on a grandbaby, isn't it? It's easy to go into a convenience store and pick out your favorite candy bar and start chowing down on it and go, man, that sure is good. I love that. But when we start to process, ladies and gentlemen, the reason this love had to be lavished on us, the love that never changes, not the reason as much as is why He went this way, it was because of what we did. Uh-oh, guilty as charged. You see, there's a tree in the middle of the garden that was tempting to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve knew that they did not need to go eat from the tree. Because if they eat from the tree, surely you will die. Every single one of us in this room has a tree in the middle of our garden. And if we understand a little bit better how the effects or how much sin has affected our lives, we are able to take and understand the definition of God's lavished love. Your sin has effect on you. And if you don't think it does, if you have never come to the understanding of how vast and horrible your sin is and what it has done for your relationship with God and how it affects you even today, if you do not completely understand that, you will never fully, completely, and we won't till this side of heaven, we won't, but we will in heaven, but we won't fully be able to grasp a little bit better what the definition of God's lavish love is. Sin has this incredible effect on you. And if you don't think it does, we need to have a conversation after this church is over. And it's going on today. And if you choose to ignore that, ladies and gentlemen, this is not going to mean very much to you. But if you choose to say, you know what? My sin is a mess. And it's torn up what God created beautiful. And what God has created beautiful, even though I've torn it up, His vast love that He lavished on us has changed us because of the choice that God made. And if you think that this doesn't affect you, you're wrong. And if you think, as Adam and Eve had a conversation with a serpent that day in the garden, remember that story, right? We were taught it in Vacation Bible School. I love the opportunity to come to First Baptist Salisaw, to whatever Baptist church it is that we go to, because truth is taught in our Sunday school classes, in our Vacation Bible School, in all of these different areas. But I think we get so accustomed to listening to those stories that we kind of check out to what it really does mean. There is a definition, there is a story, rather, of Adam and Eve in the garden when they had this conversation with the serpent, right? Make no mistake about it. In this room today, all humans, that's you and myself, there is a conversation that goes on with Satan himself. He is out to kill, steal, and destroy you. He doesn't want you to understand any better what this lavish love looks like. He wants you to sit over here in your messed up world, understanding that you think that your sin is so bad that you'll never be able to understand the greatness of God. And so he wants to pull you away as the world does. He wants to push you away as the world does. He does not want you to give your life and to set your feet down firmly in the lavish love of God. He wants you to be over here in this pitiful, pitiful, woe is me. I have messed up. There's nothing that can be done. But great is the love that the Father has lavished on you so that you can become children of the powerful, mighty Creator that created you for His pleasure in a perfect relationship. That even though we messed it up, He said, let me show you how I'm going to fix that. And if His greatest characteristics of love is this, if His greatest characteristic is love, well, how do we define that? Look at verse 16 out of the same chapter of 1 John 3. 1 John 3:16. I love the comparison, and I don't even know how this happens, right? If you go to John 3:16, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, not 1 John. 1 John 3:16 and John 3:16, they're so similar. Look here. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Here's your definition. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Uh-oh. Poor, poor, pitiful me. I've made wrong choices. I've went down the wrong path. I'm in a bad spot in my life right now. I don't think that God can lavish His love on me anymore. I don't think it's big enough. I don't think it's powerful enough. I don't think there's enough on it. I've been walking this road that is completely horrible. You don't know how bad my past is. You don't know what I've done. You don't know. I don't have to know. What I do know is that God knows, and if He knows, and He cares so much about you, no matter what you've done or where you've been, that He lavishes love on you, that it says in verse 3:16, it says that this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down His life for you. He gave His life for you so that you could be reunited before the God that made you and become right standing before Him. You and me. Us. That's the gospel of Jesus. And that's the thing that we need to go, oh. We celebrate that today in this church. I celebrate that every single day as I wake up. Who God is and what He's done for me. This lavish love that has been presented because of who God is and how much He loves me. How great is the love of the Father that He's lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Here's the cool part. Okay, a little English lesson here quickly, going back to 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished, given in great amounts. The Father, we are heirs of what He has done for us, that we should be called children of God. If I see in readings an exclamation point at the end of a sentence, is it something that is very passive or is it exclamatory? You would answer what? Good. I hear the confidence of children stepping up, because some of you guys adults are like, kids are like, you're not even in school. You're like, yeah, exclamatory. So if I read this, let's make sure that you're okay for me to be passionate just a second, right? You are? Because this is the love that God has lavished on Matt Whitson, who has fouled up so many times in his past that I didn't think that God could love me anymore. Yet He showed me how much He loved me through His Son Jesus, and He gave me His life so that I could live. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And this is one of my favorite lines times in all of the scriptures it says this, and that is what we are. Hello. Every single day. Why is that preacher yelling? Because I'm passionate about the lavish God, love that God gave me. And I can't live my life without this. And I understand because of the sin that was in my life and the sin that is in my life that there's a greater opportunity of understanding how great God's love is for me. And if I understand a little bit better how my sin affects me, and I understand that much more that His love is greater than any of my sin. And I need to wake up every single day and be reminded of the love that the Father has lavished on me, and I need to scream it out from the mountaintops. And that is what I am. A child of God. What do children get? Some of you like spankings? Yes. Some of you like grounding? Yes. All of that. There's discipline in love, right? That's a whole nother topic. That's a whole nother sermon. But what we get is, we get, children of God, get three things. We are led by the Spirit of God. We get the Spirit of God, the powerful Spirit of God inside us. We are also, we get to be lights in a dark world. We get to go love. And we also get to be heirs of all things. Not just one thing, not just two things, not just some things, all things. Jesus is an heir of the things of God. We are heirs with Jesus. That is a great thing. We get the same opportunities. I have one biological son and three adopted children, right? When we say yes and we sign on the dotted line, when my adopted children become mine, they become heirs of what we have. This is greater than that. This is so much bigger than adoption. This is us being adopted by who, because of the great love of God. But when it's put in front of us now, we get the opportunity. God moves in. The Spirit moves in. He gives us Himself. We become His family. And we should scream every single morning. Maybe in our brains, right? So people don't think we're crazy. We're not walking in Walmart going, "That is what I am!" Right? They're going to call the cops on you, right? This person needs to go to somewhere that takes care of crazy people, wherever that is, right? But we need to be reminded every single day of this great love the Father has on us. The definition is us reading in 3:16 that Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Here's our plight. This gift is given to us. Nice and neat. We love the lavish love. We love to be reunited with our God because of the blood of Jesus. But our problem is this. What we do. So we take this and we put it in our storage boat. And until we're reminded of it, we're not using like it's supposed to be used. But the moment we're reminded of it, and we begin to see and take advantage of how we're using this love that God has given us. Children of God take on the characteristics of God. The greatest characteristic of God is love, right? And so we begin to love, and we begin to see how it makes us come alive. We begin to see how it helps other people come alive. We begin to see. But our problem is that we come to church to be reminded, where every single day we need to be reminded, and we need to use that love. And then we walk into our church and we celebrate that love together. Don't come to church to be reminded. Yes, we are. We come to church to celebrate. Come to church to bring those that you've had influence on during your week. So you have a choice to make. Here's the choice. I love this line. Look in verse 16, the latter part of it, after I've already read there that this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Listen to this. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If you would read this in Southall terms or the River Valley terms, it's because we are all included in this. The good South, here we are. We oughta. Right? We oughta. Right? We oughta go fishing. We oughta go eat. Right? We oughta have a cookout.
You ought to love your neighbor.
You ought to love your brother. This is not a death that you take the place of someone, right? I'm going to fight tooth and nail for my children. If I've got to die for them, then I'm going to. This is not about dying. This is about physically serving when it's hard. This is about doing the right thing even when no one's looking. This is about doing the right thing when someone is looking. This is about teaching our children the ways of who Jesus is. This is about making tough choices even when no one else around you is making them. This is about more mercy, less judgment in people's lives. This is about all of the things that God has taught you, children of God, take on the characteristics of God, and so we ought to love. It doesn't say you have to. It didn't say you will. It says you ought to. Why? Because God knows what's best for you. And you've been given this gift that you get this opportunity to use so that you become alive and so that you also can apply that to your life so that others may see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Great is the love that the Father has lavished on you. And when those children of God receive God's Spirit, we can do far more than we can ever imagine or think. We become lights in a dark world. We begin to love. And when people start to look at us and say, "You're acting crazy. Why in the world are you taking a baby bed to that person's house who is strung out on drugs?" Because that baby needs love and that mama needs to hear about the good news of Jesus. There's this thing I think y'all have started. It's called Care Portal. Hello? Who knows that? Right? I'd love to talk to you after it's over. So my organization now has one of the great influences of my organization is bringing Care Portal to Arkansas for the very first time. What is it? If you don't know, this is not a priceless pub. This has great influence in your church. If you don't know what this is, you need to become a part of it, right? How do I love? The Church of Jesus Christ, the church, the Baptist Church, and the Church Big C, they want to do something about all of the needs. They want to know how to, they want to love people as best as they can. Unfortunately, like my children don't fully know how to love people. It is my job to train them. As I train them, they begin to teach other people. The church wants to serve even when it's hard. It just sometimes doesn't know how. Here's a great way. It's called Care Portal. It takes the needs of what's going on in your town through the state level organizations that are working with these families and children that are in crisis. And it gives you the opportunity, church, to walk beside them. You receive an email that says, "Here's a little lady that needs a baby bed or something that's of physical nature so that their children can be reunited. Maybe they just need to be encouraged. Maybe they just need to have that baby bed so that their children don't go into custody of the state." There's a lot of different areas of that. But the great part about it is this church right here specifically in the Church Big C corporately has the resources and the time, the energy and the people to do something about any problem in this town. Sometimes we just don't know how. This is one way. The thing I love about Care Portal is that when the need comes your way and you say, "Yeah, I got a baby bed. I don't have to go buy a baby bed. I have one in storage." And so you respond to the state level worker. You get to go to that person's door and go, "Hey, I'm Matt and this is my wife, Becca. We're from First Baptist Church in South Saul, and we heard that you needed a baby bed. And it's because of the loving kindness of who God is in my life that I want to be kind to you." What ways in your life are you showing the lavish love of God to those in your world? Tell me. Think about it right now. Because children of God take on the characteristics of God, and I don't want to just get this gift and put it in my storage boat in the box and go, here's just where it'll sit for a long, long time until someone reminds me of, "Hey, don't forget, God loved you so much that He gave His Son Jesus to die for you. Today's the day, ladies and gentlemen, that you ought to go out and serve your neighbor, that you ought to go out and love more, that you ought to begin to take the blinders off and see the world in a bigger picture. Today is the day that I want you, based on what God's Word says, to be reminded of what our responsibility is. You oughta. You oughta. You oughta love. Not just in 17. Let me read it real quick. 17, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 17. If anyone has material possessions, oh, this is Care Portal 101 and so many other ways. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother in need but has no pity on him, how can he have the love of God in him? Dear children, let us not, 18, let us not love with words and tongue. Oh, I oughta. They could really use some, you know, a bag of food. I ought to go to Walmart and buy them some. No. You see a need? Then go for it. Go get it. When God's Spirit, right? What do we get when we're children of God? We get God's Spirit in us. We become lights in the world, and then we are heirs to all things. That's the best is yet to come. We have no idea. And when serving is hard, even though that we don't want to or we don't feel like we have the power to do it, yes, you do. Let by God's Spirit, we become lights in a dark world. And when God lays something on your heart, don't you walk to me as a pastor and say, you know what you ought to do? I feel like you, pastor, need to run up there to the hospital and visit this little lady. She's on her deathbed. If God lays it on your heart, by all means, get in your car and drive over there. You're going to be like, oh, don't have him back next week. Yeah. I'm just teaching truth. This is what God says. And I can walk away here from here with my head up, not saying, oh, yeah, I just kind of got them to respond today based on what I wanted them to do or what I feel like the church needs to be doing. No, we need to be doing what God says in our heart or says in His Scripture, that we need to line up. Hey, here's how I'm living. Here's what the Bible says. What changes do I need to make in order to be more like Him? That's what our job is. And so we, in 18, it says, dear children, let us not love with words or with tongue, but with action and truth. Dear children, take action today. Because we are children of God, we are led by the Spirit of God. We get the opportunity to be lights in a dark world. We love. And on the other side of this earth, things won't be so hard. Love will be vast. Love will be everywhere. Love will be common. And we'll get the opportunity to set before our Jesus, the one that died on the cross for our sins. And we'll get to stare Him in the face, fall down on our knees, and we get to celebrate what God has done for us through His life. But this side of heaven, we have a job to do. Because of the lavish love that God has given us, we have a job to do, and that is love. Dear children, take action today. Dear children, don't just love with word or with tongue, but with your actions. Dear children, go love. Let me pray. Father, You are so good, and today we worship You, and we praise You, and we give You today, and I pray that You have stirred the hearts of many people in this room to take action today. Some in this room, Father, have heard the gospel of Jesus presented to them in a different way, and they need to step forward today as I come down front. They need to walk down here and they need to say, hey, Matt, would you just help me understand a little bit better what it means to be a follower of Jesus, how I can have my sins forgiven? Maybe that person or people in general have contemplated or come to the understanding that their sin is very severe in their life, and we just need to come down here and pray and not even not feel like that there's embarrassment, but there's this great opportunity for us together to rally around You and encourage You. For others, it may just be making a plan, an action step. So God, I pray that You become in the forefront of their mind on a daily basis, helping them to be reminded that they are children of God, and that is what they are. And help us, God, to be confident in that, making choices every single day to become closer followers of Jesus, understanding that even though we were sinners, that You loved us so much, that You lavished Your love on us through Your Son Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So we praise You today in that. I pray, God, that in the next few minutes it just brings You great glory, and that people make a choice, they respond to what You've asked them to do, how You've stirred their hearts through the Spirit of God in them this morning. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.